Lord be with you. Welcome, welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. Great to see all of you tonight. We pray God's blessings on our time together. Tonight we'll be remembering the minor festival of the Confession of St. Peter. Well, what did he do? What was he sorry about? Why did he confess? Well, there's two different kinds of confession. I'm not talking about the catechism answer, you know, confession and absolution there. We confess our sins, like we do at the beginning of the service, and we confess our faith, like we do when we confess one of the creeds. Our service tonight, by the grace of God, will help us to discern the difference between those two types of confession and also to see the gift in each one. We pray that God would richly bless us as we hear His Word and receive His gifts. Our opening hymn, as they heard in the prelude, number 909, Christ is made the sure foundation. We'll stand on the last verse of that hymn. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 1. Setting 1, that's on page 151 and following. We have a special worship insert for tonight that says the Confession of St. Peter on it. When we get to the hymn of praise, there's two options. We'll sing the Gloria, and for the rest, we'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Please note on our sermon hymn, the sermon hymn has all the verses that are designated for these special festival and feast days. And so when we get to that, we'll sing verses 1, 10, which is the verse for the Confession of St. Peter, and verse 3. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be in Your house. We come before You and we know that we are sinners in need of a Savior. Teach us to humble ourselves before You and Your Word. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that You have sent Your Son, Jesus, to give us forgiveness, life, and salvation through His life, death, and resurrection. Heavenly Father, as You have forgiven our sins and filled us with Your Spirit, enable us boldly in thought, word, and deed to make the good confession. All these things, Lord, we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 909. 151. Page 151. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We say we have no sin. We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name.
Amen.
Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the introit appointed for the day.
I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord, and shall not be put to shame. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord. Your faithfulness in the assembly of the
salvation. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, for
this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Comfort and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to His people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship You, we give You thanks, we praise You for Your glory. Lord, keep us right, only Son. Heavenly Father, You revealed to the Apostle Peter the blessed truth that Your Son Jesus is the Christ. Strengthen us by the proclamation of this truth that we too may joyfully confess that there is salvation in no one else. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated for the readings. The first reading for the festival of the confession of St. Peter is from Acts chapter 4. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by Him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual appointed for the day. What we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. We also believe, and so we also speak, as one who speaks oracles of God. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The epistle is from 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into an eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in the body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel, the Alleluia and verse. According to St. Mark, the 8th and 9th chapters. And Jesus went on with His disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, He asked His disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told Him, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered Him, "You are the Christ." And He strictly charged them to tell no one about Him. And He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And He said this plainly. And Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him. But turning and seeing His disciples, He rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And He called Him to the crowd with His disciples and said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what can a man give in return for his life?
For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And he said to them, Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. We continue now with the hymn of the day, By All Your Saints in Warfare, 517, verses 1, 10, and 3.
Mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Confession. When we hear this word, what kind of things come to mind? Now, maybe we might think of cop or courtroom TV shows where the prosecutor is trying to get a confession out of the defendant. Or we might think back to our catechesis, to the office of the keys to confession and absolution, which we do here in the divine service publicly, and we do before a pastor privately. In both of these mentioned situations, confession refers to admitting to doing wrong, whether against the laws of our land or, more importantly, against God's law. But there are two types or two uses of the word confession. And confession does not always have to be used to mean that we confess to doing wrong, that we confess our sin, but it can also mean to publicly, boldly, and unapologetically proclaim to all what we believe, what we teach, what we confess. In this latter case, the content of the confession itself is not bad, like when we confess our sins, but it is only good. It is something we are proud of, something about we are bold of. And the content of our confession within the church is this, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and there is salvation and no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Today in our text from Acts, we heard of this second type of confession, of the good confession of St. Peter. Now, when we think of the good confession of St. Peter, most of the time, and rightly so, we think of Peter's great confession of faith that is recorded for us in the Gospels, like we read in Mark. Peter's words to Christ, when he says to Christ that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yet today, in our reading from Acts, we heard of another great confession by St. Peter, one that we're probably not as familiar with. Now, to give you a little background, leading up to this confession of faith by St. Peter, Peter had just healed a lame beggar at the gate of the temple. And now Peter was being questioned by what power or by what name he had healed this lame man. And Peter, he makes the good confession. He confesses that he has healed this man in the power and name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He has healed this man in the power and name of Jesus Christ, who was crucified and who had been raised from the dead. He had healed this man in the power of the only name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Peter, in our reading from Acts, he makes the good confession. And what makes this confession so powerful is not just what Peter confesses, but to whom he makes this confession of faith. Now, we didn't have it in our reading for today, but in the verses immediately preceding our text, we are told that Peter and John, they were brought before the scribes, the rulers, and the elders of the people, before Annas, the high priest, before Caiaphas, before the entire high priestly family within Jerusalem, and most likely within the temple. Now, being brought before rulers, scribes, and elders, before Caiaphas in the temple in Jerusalem, does any of this sound familiar? Think back to Good Friday. Think back to that night when Jesus was betrayed. Because we are told in the Gospels that just after Judas had betrayed Jesus, they led Jesus to the high priest, namely Caiaphas at that time. And all the chief priests and the elders and scribes came together. And Peter had followed him at a distance right into the courtyard of the high priest. You see, this was not the first time Peter had seen this happen. This had happened before, and the last time this had happened, Peter was not the bold and brave confessor we like to think of him as. No, the last time this happened, Peter did not stand beside Jesus and boldly make the good confession. Instead, he shrunk away in fear. The last time this has happened, Peter was so ashamed of Christ and His words that he was willing to curse himself and deny Jesus rather than to make the good confession and die for the faith. Peter, he had tried the first time to make the good confession and he had failed. So what's the difference? Why did he fail the first time? And how was he now bold to make this good confession before the same rulers, scribes, and elders of the people. God's Word in Acts for today gives us the answer. Namely, that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter, the first time around, he had tried to make the good confession on his own, and he failed. And often we fall into the same trap in our lives, as we often try to be strong to make the good confession on our own as well. And every day we are called upon to make the good confession in what we say and what we do. For you see, we don't have to be brought before scribes and rulers and elders to make the good confession. No. Everything we say and everything we do every day is a confession of what we believe, of what we teach, and of what we confess. Every day, every action we take is a confession of what we believe. And in our lives, we make good confessions of faith, and we make bad ones. And think about your life. What kind of confessions of faith have you been making? Think about your family. Think about your spouse. How do you treat your spouse? What confession do you make about your spouse? Do you treat them with love as a God-given gift? Or do you treat them hatefully? How do you, kids, treat your parents? Do you listen to your parents and do what your parents tell you? Or do you do what you want instead? How do we treat our neighbors? Are you trustworthy? Or are you always ready to reveal your neighbor's secret just for a laugh? Do we keep our eyes on what God has given us? Or do our eyes constantly wander to places that they shouldn't? Do we practice moderation in all things? Or do we open up that extra bottle that we shouldn't? On Wednesday nights, do we always come here and worship? Or are sports practices more important? And on Sunday mornings, do we come to church and Bible study? Or do we sleep in instead? All the time. Every day we are called upon to make the good confession. And so often, we find ourselves making a sinful one instead. And we try hard to make the good confession. We sincerely want to make the good confession. Just like Peter sincerely wanted to die with Jesus on that night when he was betrayed. But see, we often make the same mistake that Peter did. We think the way to make the good confession in our lives is to just be tougher, to just try harder, or just try and find a new way to motivate ourselves more. And how is that working out for you? How'd that work out for Peter? My friends, sin is real, temptation is real, and the devil is real. And if you think you can take on sin and temptation on your own, you're wrong. Don't kid yourselves. The devil is out there, and he is mighty. He's had a lot of practice. He knows exactly what buttons to push. And if Peter, that great and bold confessor of faith we're told about in the Gospels and in Acts, if he was not able to face temptation on his own, if he was not able to deal with sin and guilt on his own, neither can you. You can't do it on your own. Just like Peter couldn't do it on your own, because we confess that there is only one name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And it's not your name, and it's not my name. No, the only name that can save us is the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and there is salvation in no one else. And it is only by the name of Jesus that we are saved, because Jesus is the only one who could face the devil and his temptations and never sin. He was the only one who could do it alone. And alone, He did it. For on that Good Friday, Jesus alone faced the temptations of the devil as he walked that bitter road to the cross. Jesus alone faced those scribes and rulers and elders. Jesus alone was scourged and mocked by those Roman soldiers. Jesus alone stood before Pontius Pilate and heard the cries of His own people to crucify Him. And Jesus alone was nailed to a cross where He suffered the wrath of God that our sin deserved. Jesus, as He died on that cross on Good Friday, He made the greatest confession of all time. For Jesus on the cross confessed His great love for us by dying to take away our sin. Jesus died on the cross and He confessed His love for us. And in His resurrection and ascension, He confessed that forgiveness He won on the cross is for you. For Jesus, after His resurrection, He didn't just leave Peter alone with his sin and his guilt, but Jesus came to Peter. Jesus came to Peter and forgave Peter. He forgave Peter, renewed Peter, restored Peter, and He gave to Peter His promised Holy Spirit so that Peter would be bold, would be able to be bold to confess His name to the world. And just as Jesus came to Peter and forgave Peter, so also Jesus comes to us and forgives us. That's what happens here every time we gather to worship in the divine service. It happens here every day, every time we worship in confession and absolution. For at the beginning of our service, we came here filled with contrition and sorrow over our sin. And having confessed our sin, Jesus came to us, He forgave us, renewed us, and restored us in our baptismal grace. For to confess our sins and to receive absolution is nothing other than to return to our baptismal grace, wherein each of us received God's promised Holy Spirit. And we, only once we have been forgiven, renewed, and restored in our baptismal grace, only then are we able to be bold to confess the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth to the world in what we say and what we do. Peter, he was a great confessor of the faith, and after he was forgiven by Christ at the end of the Gospels, we constantly see Peter boldly confessing the faith to the world. But the thing is, as we see in Acts, Peter was still a sinner. He still struggled with sin. But there was something different about Peter. Peter knew this time that he didn't need to go it alone. That he couldn't go it alone. Peter knew who to look to for strength and forgiveness. And so do we. We as Christians know if we want to constantly make the good confession in what we say and what we do, we constantly need to look to Jesus. We need to constantly come to church and confess our sins and to be constantly forgiven by Jesus. And my friends, when we come to church, when we confess our sins and we receive God's absolution, we are making the good confession. For when we come here and confess our sins, we are confessing that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. We are confessing that there is salvation only in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and there is salvation and no one else. So, in the church, we confess to confess. In the church, there are two types or two uses of the word confession, and they always go together. In the church, we confess our sin to Jesus, who confessed His great love for us on the cross. And having been forgiven, we go forth boldly and make the good confession in the world. Namely, the good confession that there is only one name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And we confess by that name, we truly are saved. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Having heard God's Word, we are bold to make the good confession. And we do so now with the words of the Nicene Creed found on page 158. Please stand. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. Then He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For the faithful proclamation of Christ's saving name, that God's people may be strengthened in the true faith, that they may boldly confess His name. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this congregation, its mission, and its people, for the ability to meet the needs that arise as we do the work God has given us to do, and for the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who partake this day of Christ's holy body and blood, that in their eating and drinking they may receive the benefits of forgiveness of sins and the renewal of life, and have a foretaste of the feast to come. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who have wandered from the faith, that the Holy Spirit would use us to call them home to the Father. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who suffer from hunger, homelessness, poverty, or unemployment, that God's great mercy and love would preserve and relieve them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are sick, especially those who have requested our prayers, that God would grant healing to their bodies and strength to bear their infirmities with patience and grace. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who mourn, that in their time of sorrow they would not lose hope, but rely on God's promise that He will never leave them nor forsake them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of Your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in His victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from His ascension before You, where He ever stands for us as our own High Priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and His kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to You alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, for you have mightily governed and protected your holy church, in which the blessed apostles and evangelists proclaimed your divine and saving gospel. Therefore, with patriarchs and prophets, apostles and evangelists, with your servant Saint Peter, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 Lord, God of heaven, heaven and earth, Lord, Lord, Lord.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Now this true body and precious blood of our crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart with peace, with great joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. We stand for the Nunc Dimittis, page 165. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, 582. 582.
I encourage you to check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes for the activities and events in the days and weeks ahead. Tomorrow we have a special class that will be taking place in room 109. It's put on by the radio board, and we have an expert coming in teaching people how to edit files, not only the radio files, but files in general. So if this is something that you're curious about or you'd like to help out with regard to the radio station or even your own home kind of things, this is a class for you, 7:30 tomorrow night, room 109. It's free and should be very, very informative. We've got Bible study tonight in the fellowship hall, continuing our look at Psalm 119, Bible study tomorrow on the book of Hebrews, Lifelight Bible study, that's at 1 o'clock. On Sunday this week, we have our big soup dinner, so you're all invited to come and eat. A few folks have volunteered to make soup and allow their names to be judged. So come and eat and have some fun. Should be a good time. And we do have a big pancake feed coming up first Tuesday in February. And that's a fundraiser for pediatric cancer. We need help. There's a sign-up sheet out there. We especially need help setting up on that particular Tuesday. So if you can help us out in that respect, many hands make light work. Voters Assembly has been set, and that will be Tuesday night, January 30 at 7 o'clock. How'd I do? Okay. We have two voters assemblies a year, one in January and then one sometime in the summer. And then when we have special business, we call a special meeting. So this is one of our regular voters meetings, January 30th, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. Anything else, Pastor? Vicar, good job. Have a great day and week in the Lord Jesus.